Have you got any thoughts in your head, Concha? Have you got any thoughts in that big old rattling head of yours? Any thoughts rattling around? That something to start us off on a lovely sunny Tuesday?
I was thinking, you know, we were talking about music last week and you sent me of your top five songs of all time, and your favourite song of all time was Eiffel 65 Blue.
Yes.
Then Dr. Jones by Aqua was number two.
Yes. Don't forget my the one in between, because I squeezed one in at top, 1.5.
What was that again?
There's a rat in my kitchen, what am I gonna do? the anthem by UB40, Rat in My Kitchen.
Sorry, it was Rat in the Kitchen, not number one, Blue, Dabba Dee, but Dabba Day was 1.5, and then two was Dr. Jones by Aqua.
I find it very difficult to decide between Blue, Dabba Dee, Dabba Die, and Rat in My Kitchen.
Yeah. Well, what I was thinking was, would it be worth asking Dead Rabbit to put some money together for you to record an album by yourself of those tracks?
Well, I mean, if you put a contract on the table, get something in paper, I'll certainly take a look at it.
Yeah, do you know who's on today?
We got Somebody's Child. The band is Somebody's Child. And they're a great band from Dublin.
Yeah.
They're post-punk.
No.
Oh. Okay, what kind of punk are they?
They're not punk.
They're pre-punk.
I would say like indie. I wouldn't say indie. There's pop elements. Like, it's kind of like indie rock pop.
So they're Indians.
Indians.
That's what you're saying.
No. They're indie rock pop.
It sounds like my cup of tea. Can you sing any of their songs?
Yeah.
Will you?
No. I don't want to embarrass myself.
I've got a new piece of clothing to show you.
Oh. Yeah, I like it.
Of course you do, mate. I'm wearing it.
Yeah. Where did you get that from?
I'll never tell.
Was it the range?
How'd you know? Tents and jackets.
And dog food.
Is there a range in wherever it is part of the bloody back country you're from?
Yeah, there's a range in the town next to me. And it is singular, like, that store has single-handedly rejuvenated the Meadows shopping centre of Portadown. Like, people thought that was it for the Meadows. There's no hope for the Meadows, and the rain just come in and rejuvenated the town. And we've all celebrated. Even a town rival, Craigavon and Lurgan, we've all celebrated together.
We thought there was no hope for the Meadows. Until the range came along and changed our situation, baby. We thought there was no hope for Portadown. Until you came along, until you saved my town, the range.
Now that could be the theme tune for the range. A great hero.
We sell lots of tents. We also sell barbecues. I hope you don't mind. You'll stand in a very long queue. Most of our customers have their mouth stuck open wide. They can't breathe through their nose. And we just don't know why, but they buy lots of transparent boxes. I don't know why they need so many boxes. They also like to buy cushions with live, laugh, love and other slogans. Yeah, anyway, basically, so this band, Somebody's Child, are coming on. I say band, but we're only going to talk to... How many pieces are we talking about this week, Connor?
One.
One piece. One pieces. you know, every now and then you get a band that's like five pieces. This week we've got a band that's one pieces. No, turn it off, Connor. I'll tell you this every time. Right? People are bloody listening in and they don't want to hear you texting your bloody girlfriend or whoever you're texting. Okay?
Yeah.
You're not even listening to me. That's fine. No. Okay, so somebody's child are coming on. They are not post-punk this time. I know we have a lot of post-punk bands, but somebody's child, I would class them more as like indie pop rock. Very good stuff. Make sure you check it out. And away we go. Liquid Core.
Talk about the music in your life. Liquid Chords.
So I'm here with Kian from Somebody's Child. How are you getting on, man?
How's it going, lads? How's it going? All good. We're working away on some music at the moment, but excited to be kind of coming out of lockdown and finding my sanity again.
Yeah, likewise. You kind of just recently released an EP, didn't you?
We did. We released kind of four singles and I kind of colluded onto an EP, and that came out in March. So we're looking to release again this month coming. Are we in July? We are. This month, in a few weeks, hopefully, which is the kind of last EP before our album, hopefully, all things going well. So we're really excited to release that. I kind of feel like it's the last piece of the puzzle creatively before we kind of try and amalgamate our sound onto a body of work.
Do you think you'll revisit any of those songs when you do the album?
Yeah, I think there's definitely some that I think are... they kind of embody the sound that I want to go for. I think a little bit like too much not to put them on. Whether we're going to kind of reopen them and stuff and kind of rework them, I'm not sure, but I've tried not to think about what songs we have and what songs we don't have and try and just start afresh, but it's difficult to not to think about that kind of stuff. You know, it's like it's tricky because obviously the thought of doing an album is a little bit tricky in itself, and you don't want to get caught in these kind of patterns in your mind where you get stuck thinking you have to do this or you have to do that, because obviously creativity doesn't come from a place where you have to do anything. But it's very difficult not to, you know, because you want your first album to be perfect as well. So it's a tricky little act of balance. And I guess that's where the title for the album, well, the working title for the album came, which is like this idea of duality. And it's about kind of accepting that you're not, you know, I'm not a like one person in a certain space, that I kind of encompass a few different characters within me, you know, and that's stylistically as well. You know, we all listen to different types of music, even throughout the day, we all experience different feelings. And it's just, I suppose, about embracing all of those and not being shy of, like, you know, writing a pop song or, you know, the contrast between like even old school versus new school in the industry and stuff, and just kind of embracing all different types. But very much a working title at the moment. I kind of rambled on there.
No, it's good. It's a good point. And yeah, it's like I would find it really hard to commit to be in a certain, like you're saying there, if you have to write a pop song, if you have to write a rock song, whatever, the way it comes out is the way it comes out. I would find, like, I personally found it really tough to stick to a genre, like to stick to one thing. Like, that doesn't really inspire me. You know, to kind of have those set those parameters on yourself, rather. And imagine that's kind of what you're alluding to a bit, like trying not to worry so much about how it's perceived, but just that you're enjoying in the process of doing it.
Yeah, I guess, like, I mean, you know, I try to base it off what I think, you know, the perfect albums are and the ones that I kind of look up to, and they all have like a certain style. So I'm like, okay, well, I want mine to be a certain style, but, you know, I'm not necessarily that, you know. You kind of have to accept that, you know, you're not the person that you're trying to be, and to embrace who you are, I suppose, as well as a creative. But you're constantly kind of straddling these two kind of different people in your head, where you're like, I want to be this, but this is who I am, you know, and you're kind of caught in the middle of this. I don't know. It's a strange process, but it's a learning curve, and I suppose that's it. The album will come out as a result of all of these thoughts that kind of go through your head, and it's that process, it's that time you know, that will result in the album. Like, you still need to, you know, have these thoughts at some stage and then go through them and then, you know, throw it in the bin and then, you know, pick them back up again and stuff. So it's a very different challenge to just writing a single, you know, where it's like, it doesn't matter what it is. I should probably stop thinking about it so much.
it kind of brings me on to something I was going to ask you before. I was wondering if you see, when you started playing, I remember someone was telling me, a publisher was telling me about you. He was like, "Josh, check out his music." And I went, and you were like faceless. Like, everything was faceless, and like, you didn't show your face. And like, was that a thing about like you trying to, like, just, you didn't, it was like, I was kind of thinking maybe that's a, you know, it could be like a, just keep it mysterious and people are interested in the mystique. Or was it like, I'm still not totally sure what this is yet, I don't really want to put my...
Definitely a bit of both. A bit of both. I think it was the latter, but I tried to play it off as the first.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, Somebody's Child started off for me as a just trying to get a publishing deal. I just wanted to write for other people. I didn't want to do my own thing. And I thought the name alluded to like not a band or a kind of female or a male or a solo artist or whatever. So it's meant to be completely anonymous, and hence the face thing. But then, you know, we needed to start playing live, and I was like, well, I can't, you know, cover my face. I'll distort the sound. And if you want to do that well, you need to have money to get some sort of, like, you know, I don't know, some mask or something. And I think I remember like doing a few radio interviews, and they were all like asking about the face. Why not the face? And the whole point was to take it away from, you know, the fact that I was a person, you know, and to make it more about the music. And suddenly it became about, you know, hiding my face as opposed to the music. So the very thing I didn't want it to become, it was kind of, you know, becoming. And then I think somebody else kind of said to me, like, how do you expect, you know, to be a genuine artist and connect with, you know, people through your music if you can't even show people, you know, who you are? It seemed a little like, you're kind of cowering behind your words, whereas you should kind of be proud of the things that you stand for. So I just kind of made the decision to go on and do a face reveal, which sounds so ridiculous.
The nation held their breath as you lifted the mask off.
So I think we all remember where we were when I did that.
But I totally get it, man. Like, I actually had I was in a band before that is called Silences, and we didn't do any pictures or anything at the start. We just had the artwork, and it was probably part that we wanted to keep the mystique, but also part that none of us knew how to dress, and we all looked shit in pictures. So we were like, but eventually it just becomes impossible because people, you know, you get that thing where people need to know who you are to connect to you and all this. But it's funny enough, I've seen that band Salt, or is that like that? Have you seen that collective? That collective, they have this basically they're like faceless group. They've just released an album that's available for 99 days, and then they're going to take it off. But yeah, it got me thinking. Your thing kind of got me thinking about that. They've really continued on with that, and they've went. But it feels like there's some money behind that too, you know. So
yeah, I mean that's so strange that it's only available for 99.
It's a whole mystique thing. I think like there's a trying to create this, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds cool, but then at the same time, how are you supposed to have a timeless record if like it only lasts for 99 days? Yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah. Very much a time set on it. Yeah. So before you got into Somebody's Child, were you doing much, like, because you were saying you were writing, you were interested in the publishing side, but did you have any projects, or were you just like kind of a bedroom artist?
No, very much a bedroom artist. I'd done kind of the pub scene in Dublin, and was a little bit disheartened, I think, by the whole thing. People just trying to get you to play covers and stuff. So that's why I was like, right, I'm done with this. You know, I don't want to be singing other people's songs, you know, for drunk people. And then, I suppose I just gave it up. And I like, for my final project, I went to BIM in Dublin at Music College. And for my final project, I had to do something like, that had some sort of kind of professional aspect to it. And so I did this, like, I was like, how to get a publishing deal. So I was like, right, so I need to kind of brand myself, put myself out there. Because I kind of figured, you know, without a name, you're not going to get, like, your songs aren't going to be worth as much. So you might as well have some sort of kind of momentum or something going. And then, so I started that. And then, you know, the music that I was making was definitely for a band, because that was just my, you know, my music taste. And And then as a result, kind of people started getting a little bit interested, and it was like, when are the gigs? And I was like, well, kind of need to put a band together now. So I did, and then it kind of developed. And yeah, I guess this is still the same form. Actually, Shay was a newer addition, but aside from that, still in the same form as it was back then.
Yeah, so it's Shay Tohill, and he'd be a mutual friend of ours, but Shay was like, Shay's kind of been, he was in Orca Collective and Woodburn and Savages. And how does that work? Because you and Shay seem to be quite like close in terms of the, like, he seems to be quite involved with the production side of it.
Yeah, so Shay produces a lot of the stuff now, aside from the last record, which we did with Tommy McLaughlin. And Shay, I guess Shay's also been in bands as well, so it's easy for me to relate to him, because I'm kind of trying to spearhead the Somebody's Child thing, and he's kind of been he's a veteran of the music industry, I like to call him, with kind of that kind of experience. And he, I guess, immediately seemed to get the music. So from a kind of I'm very much kind of songwriting based, and he also songwrites, but he loves kind of production, and I'm a poor guitarist, he's a good guitarist, so we seem to find a good kind of niche where I found, you know, space to be able to express myself fully. And then he's obviously, you know, being able to express himself as well in Somebody's Child. So it's worked out really well. In the last kind of 18 months, it's pretty much been the two of us just working on music for as much as possible, with a few months off. But yeah, it's funny. It's like, it feels like Shay's always been in the band, but he actually wasn't at the start.
Mm-hmm. You see, when you were just talking about like the fact that you started this as a project to become a writer for other people, essentially, at what point did you think, okay, I actually feel comfortable being an artist in my own right, and, you know, going for that, like going for to be a performing artist?
It was really tough. I think putting out the first song was the hardest thing ever, because it's just so, I think Dublin's such a small place that you're kind of, everything you do, people know about, you know, it's a bit gossipy as well. So you kind of have these fears, and you know, you just didn't want it to be a flop, because like, as soon as a few people say it's crap, you know, everyone's going to think it's crap. So, but these are always the fears. But when you do put it out, you know, you'd be surprised at the amount of people that have, you know, an enormous amount of respect for people just going out and doing their own thing, you know, and I suppose not going by the, you know, the traditional routes. And I think people do enjoy kind of living vicariously through someone who's kind of doing something a little bit more independent, despite the challenges that may, you know, face us. I think it was a really difficult thing to do. But I think the thing that gave me confidence was really meeting the band, because it's very daunting playing on your own, but having people around you that support what you do gives you an enormous amount of confidence, and not only on stage, but actually as a kind of creative as well.
Yeah, and the things have been going really well. You've obviously done the EP, you've like singles, of like, significant radio play. Like, I definitely, you know, or especially within the South, you know, or T2 probably. I've heard you on loads of times, and you did the BBC introducing stage, I think, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that was 2019, Reading Leeds. Yeah, that was good fun.
Yeah, and so things seem to be gathering momentum. So what would you say is ahead then? Like, what are you, obviously you mentioned the album, but in terms of like, I guess, closer, you know.
Yeah. I guess the EP that we have coming out, which I haven't spoken about, which is yet to be named, as I was mentioning beforehand, is coming out this summer. Yeah, so hopefully this month, there'll be one track coming out, and then the EP will be out in September, and then obviously we're working towards the album. But in the meantime, we have the UK tour, which is our first headline tour, organised for November, December. We've rescheduled it twice, some of the gigs three times. So I'm just very glad that no one's kind of complained about that. Like, we haven't had anyone message us and say, what's the story with these? You know, everyone's kind of been so understanding, and thank God for that. But yeah, hopefully it's the first time. I've always been quite skeptical or cynical, about it, but it's the first time where I think it's actually going to go ahead. So, I hope even with this spike that's kind of happening now, I'm hoping it'll be down again by the time that kind of November, December happens.
Yeah, almost the same position with rescheduled gigs.
Yeah,
it's because I think like if this stuff doesn't go ahead, like not that it hasn't been a real problem, but you know, it's like wow, because it's going to affect major artists, because major artists are in a position where they didn't necessarily need a tour for a year. You know, they weren't on their album cycle or something.
Yeah.
But you know, like when they start getting affected, that's when like the big organizations start getting affected. So, God, if it doesn't happen, it's going to be, who knows? Might have to, change it up. Yeah, scary. Like it's so, it's just like, when you were probably setting out to do this, you know, you have these, you know, I don't know for you, but for me, there's milestones and things you need to be doing. You know, you need to make sure, you know, set up the release schedule, artwork, music videos, get the tour on. Like you do not ever think of a global pandemic that would completely derail any plan you have.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
I think as well, just because you were talking about majors there, I heard recently that because like radio is one of the few kind of outlets that majors can really control at the moment, it's becoming way harder for up and coming artists to kind of break through at the moment because they just have such a monopoly on it.
Did you notice that with the EP?
I definitely noticed that. I think I'm not sure whether we're maybe going in an indie direction, and I'm not sure that Ireland has the radio outlets for kind of heavier stuff. There's only a couple, and I'm not even sure if they're suited to us. But I definitely have noticed that a bit. Yeah, I think so.
Have you found yourself in a position where your music, like I've had it in the past, where there's not necessarily like a perfect fit. It's like, you know, it's not poppy enough to be on certain radio stations, and it's probably not alternative enough to be on the other side. And there's
definitely 100%. I just don't think that Ireland is maybe it's not big enough, but I also just don't think it's maybe there in terms of I just think we're a little bit behind the UK and stuff in terms of taste. It seems like a lot of the stuff that gets played and promoted quite a lot just seems like pop 5 years ago or something. I don't know, it's really hard to say, but I definitely find that stuck between a rock and a hard place or whatever it's called, do you know what I mean?
I don't know if this was a story that I told myself or people told me to make me feel better, like, but my old manager, well, you know, it obviously didn't work out, like, but
yeah.
But he would say, and he's probably right to an extent, he would have said, you know, it's kind of those artists in the middle ground that tend to, when they do break out, they break out in a massive way. It's like, and there are bands like, you know, like, I mean, I'm not comparing you to Coldplay or whatever, but I mean, that's not necessarily a band that fits, you know, Coldplay now, modern times, don't necessarily fit really anywhere.
Yeah.
But when they kind of get through... They make a really significant mark because the songwriting is strong and it's a bit different. So yeah, I'm gonna tell you that's that's gonna make you feel better.
you're probably right. I suppose like you have to hope that what you do as well, although it's not like immediately, you know, getting on every radio station and all this stuff, that it's towards a kind of a bigger purpose, I suppose. That I mean, you're going for, you know, you're trying to make art that lasts as opposed to stuff that's just going to get on, a 2FM playlist, you know what I mean? And you'd hate to think that radio style and Spotify playlist style as well are affecting how people are writing music, you know? And I've heard about people writing specifically to like they go ahead and listen to loads of songs in their playlist and it's like, this is what we should write about, you know?
Somebody said the other day to me, and this is not a lie, like, that is so coffee house. That's so coffee house playlist.
Yeah.
I was like, come on. And it was so funny. Shea was actually talking as well the other day. He said, isn't it so funny, like, that someone on Spotify can just go, like, they're not even thinking about it. They're just like, I'm going to add this song to this coffee house playlist today because I love it.
Yeah.
But they're not thinking, that person's going to be able to quit their job now.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
It's like, I'm going to change that person's life today with a click of a button.
It's insane.
Kian, we asked you just to think of a couple of two or three songs that, you know, had an impact on you. Could you give us the first one?
Yeah, the first one, I suppose, just because they're kind of a staple influence of mine, very coming of age kind of thing. I actually got into them quite late, at kind of maybe somewhere between 17 and 19, but the Arctic Monkeys were always a big influence on me. So I think A Certain Romance is going to have to be the first one.
Okay. What about that song? Like, what at all the Arctic Monkeys song? What was the reason for that?
I think the lyrics, the rawness of it. You know, it's not, you know, overly thought out. It was extremely kind of relatable. It was exactly, you know, to do with the age that I was at the time. You know, it's just, you know, hanging out in bars and playing pool and, you know, going out with your mates and stuff. And I just found that extremely relatable at the time. And yeah, I just obviously was getting into them, and they were just a coming of age band for me. So
it's so funny you mentioned that song. So I did this. It was kind of like an interview thing with Output, you know, the Belfast.
Yeah.
Soak and I did. We kind of exchanged songs. We talked about songwriting and songs that really had an impact on us. And that was one I chose. One of the ones I chose was Certain Romance.
Yeah.
And it was the reason I picked it. I don't know if you agree with this, but when Arctic Monkeys came about, and that he'd such a thick Sheffield accent. When I was so young, I'd only really think I'd heard American artists, and it was so colloquial. And
yeah,
for sure. And he was talking about, you know, knackered, it was a knackered Converse and tracky bottom tucked in socks, and put kids who pool was or kids who scrap a pool cues in their hand.
Yeah,
and I was like,
yeah.
I know, like that feels like my life. You know, all the other songs were like so super, and I was into music, but that I think that album really got me into music in the sense like I was like, oh, I could write songs, and you know, I don't have to pretend that I'm American or pretend.
Yeah,
that I'm,
yeah, for and sure.
So, yeah, there's yeah, so it's like a real, I don't know, it feels close to home. I think
the best songs are that it's just hard to relate to them. Like, you know, if you listen to a Neil Young song, which is about the Vietnam War, like you think, oh, that's a classic song. I know I should like this, but we aren't born in an age of the Vietnam War, so we're never going to be able to relate. So, I mean, the closest thing to it is, yeah, Nike trackers,
scrapping and pull offs.
But yeah,
cool. And what's the second one you had?
I was going to say Red Eyes by War on Drugs. War on Drugs were a little bit, again, another coming of age. So when I got a bit older again, kind of opened my eyes to what some people call dad rock. But what I listen to now, which is kind of like The National and War on Drugs and stuff. So that was a song which I unashamedly listened to for about 2 years on repeat. So yeah, I got that.
Yeah, that song is just the production. And I try not to think too much about production, like, because it's a great song, but there was something really brilliant about the way that song was recorded. I don't know, I just never heard the recording of that whole album.
It's
just the quality. It was like one of those albums that made me think about, and I don't think I really thought about, like, you know, quality of recording. It was always about quality of the songs.
Yeah.
But yeah, that album, just when you stick a pair of good headphones on, it really comes across. I saw them perform like 2015 Electric Picnic, and it was just, and it was a festival gig, and it was one of the best gigs I've ever been to.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus, I haven't seen it. Now, to be honest, like, I'd be a bit ashamed if I went to the gigs, because you can't hear whatever they're saying, so I have no idea what he's saying during most of them. I'm kind of making up half the words in my head, but like, that's half the beauty of it. Like,
I feel for them, it's like, it's more the collection of everything. It's not just the word. I don't listen to them for the words, really. It's just how everything comes together.
It's like an instrument, isn't it? The voice, just uses like vowel sounds and stuff. It's really the complete opposite of Arctic Monkeys, which is like really relatable lyrics. And then on the flip side, you have these guys and you can't even hear what they're saying, and yet it sounds so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my second.
Not to push you on a third, but anybody else who was like a big influence for you?
Yeah, I guess like having kind of grown up on music that I think I was kind of brought up on the radio. Like, my dad would have listened to like Tom Waits and Leonard Cohen and stuff, but at the time that was like way too mature for me as a kid. So I kind of, and my mum listened to like classical music, so I kind of rejected that and just listened to, you know, what was kind of popular and cultural at the time, and that was what was on the radio. But it wasn't until I was older and I kind of made friends with, you know, some people that I'm still friends with today, that I got introduced to music that was, you know, the opposite of pop, I suppose, the anti-pop. And that sounds really cynical. But then I kind of, yeah, so I started on this like quest for knowledge of music. And in that I found some gems that I could actually say I really, really liked as an artist. And it wasn't just because I was kind of, you know, forcing them down my, or in my ears. So I'm going to go with, I'm going to say Bob Dylan and Jimi Hendrix for the two of them.
Yeah, and super, obviously super contrasting, kind of same era. But yeah, again, kind of that lyrical thing as well. So you can lyric against the music kind of feel thing,
definitely,
isn't it?
Definitely, yeah, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, kind of modern Arctic Monkeys, War on Drugs. Here, Peter, I was wondering if we could do an extract, anything we could hear?
I don't want to disappoint you this week, Connor, but I'm struggling with this song because it's one of my favourite songs of all time, is this Red Eyes song, you know, about this guy who's got really, really red eyes and he's, you know, he's really sad probably, or he's crying or something. And I'm trying to figure it out on the keyboards and it's just very difficult. It's like something like that. Coming right away. Oh, it's easier to get to my soul. Surrounded by the night. Surrounded by the night and I don't know when. So, you know, it's something like that. But, you know.
So, someone's been listening to the lyrics anyways.
that's the clearest they've ever heard those lyrics.
Yeah, those are definitely right. I didn't make those up, okay? Listen, I'll have to get you next time, Keen. I'll learn a song for you for next time. But basically on this show, I learn a song and I'll play it for you because we can't afford to play the real thing. So, I've let you down and I've let the listeners down and I've let Concha down. But, you know, I'm going to forgive myself because, you know, I'm a forgiving guy.
No, you did well, man.
We'll have words after, Peter. All right?
No. It's all right. Don't put me back in the box.
Thanks very much. See you soon. That wasn't a bad rendition, fairness, Tim.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, he's got that Moog, I don't know how you pronounce it. With a deep mind. Thanks a million for doing this. You're gonna be on tour. Where can people get tickets? Or
You get it on the website www.somebodysjobmusic.com, and then you can find us on Instagram, Spotify, Facebook, all the rest at Somebody's Child Artist is most of the tags, and then playing in Galway, Kerry, Dublin. I suddenly started this because I'm going to forget. Belfast, Glasgow, Sheffield, Manchester, Leeds, and London. And I'm definitely forgetting one.
Bristol?
No, not Bristol. No, I think I'm forgetting one in Ireland. It's even worse. But anyways, we're all the info is on our website and such. And absolute pleasure, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Treat. Thanks, man. Take care.
I'm in such a good mood today. I woke up on the right side of the bed.
Really?
Yeah, normally I wake up on the left, but today was the other side, and it just, I don't know, it instilled me with some sort of confidence, some sort of joie de vivre, if you will.
Well, I'm glad that your day's been going well so far, Peter, because can latch on to that feeling and remember that good times will come again.
Yeah. What is something bad? Is it the Scooter Boys again?
No, it's not the Scooter Boys.
Is it the Pellet Children?
It's not that either.
Oh no.
Yeah, I'm not able to tell you.
Do you have
because
are you
it's
okay?
not really Yeah, I'm okay.
Got
I'm okay.
Some sort of debilitating disease besides, of course, the ones that we know about, like yours. You know that ugliness isn't really like a disease.
Yeah, I know. It's I know. I know my heart will grow back. It's, I'm not the one going to be delivering the bad news, but there's bad news coming, Peter. I'd love to sit here and say that working with you
probably has been like some of the most enjoyable times of my life. And
I've figured it out.
Yeah,
you've got to go. You're leaving.
No, I'm not leaving.
You're going on to greener pastures.
No, I would like to say all those things, but I wouldn't mean them. I'm going to leave you. There's somebody here to speak to you from Dead Rabbit.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I think you've had a good run, and it'll all become clear in a moment. But look, take care, and here's the global brand manager.
Listen, I'll call you back in 5. Okay, no, hold on, I have to deal with this now. 1 second. Hello.
Hello.
Is that Mr. Clark?
Yes, my friends call me Peter.
Listen, we've had numerous complaints from an individual that we're not willing to identify at this time, mainly because we can't spell his first name. But yes, HR have decided that this contract is no longer going to go any further.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Sorry for you guys.
On your part.
Yeah, you've lost your contract or something. That's very sad news.
Yes. No, look, it's just not going to work for us any further. So I'm really sorry, Mr. Clark. I thank you for your time. I realize that we didn't pay you.
I quit before you said that. I quit already.
We accept that.
No, hold on a sec. Wait, Mr. Man? Mr. Man? Mr. Guy?
Peter, it's me.
Concha, good. Tell him I quit before he said anything else, okay? I want this on the record.
Okay, Peter.
Okay.
Goodbye, Peter.
No, but that's not the end of our friendship, is it? Is it?
All by myself. Don't wanna be all by myself anymore.